This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Yik and Juliet Jacobs. Earlier in the hour, we talked about the caremongering initiative that's happening in Malaysia and also, I think, in several other parts of the world, particularly countries that are hard hit by COVID-19 right now. So here in Malaysia, it's lots of different individuals and groups who are offering their help to those who are less able during this period of the movement control order. And now moving on to our second story. So yesterday was day one of the movement control order, and as has been reported across various news outlets and reiterated by the Prime Minister last night, Malaysians are to stay at home during these 2 weeks until the 31st of March. You can go out to buy groceries, but that's all you should be doing unless you work in sectors that fall under essential services.
And it was also yesterday that the Women and Family Development Ministry tweeted to say that the Talian Kasih hotline would be suspended for 2 weeks in line with the movement control order. And some Malaysians who tried calling the hotline after that reported that they only heard a recorded message informing callers of the suspension.
Shocking, to say the least.
Horrifying.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. And of course, this drew a lot of immediate criticisms from the public and from NGOs and other politicians, which eventually led, fortunately, to the reactivation of Talian Kasih. But reactivation aside, why was the line even suspended in the first place?
Yeah, the Talian Kasih 15999 hotline was introduced by the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development to provide an avenue for the public to make any complaints from, you know, ranging from domestic abuse to even the abandonment of babies, and also to provide counselling. And while there are other hotlines available from NGOs, the need for Talian Kasih remains to ensure that these other hotlines are not overburdened, you know. And statistics from the past few years have also shown an increase in the number of calls via the hotline. In 2019, Talian Kasih received 25,868 calls, which is an increase of over 70% compared with 15,046 calls back in 2018.
Yeah, and understandably, right now, there is a public health need for the movement control order to limit contact among people. But, you know, with everyone being asked to stay at home, for women and children who are experiencing domestic violence or at risk of it, this could mean that they are trapped in their homes with their abusers, with nowhere to go and no one to turn to for help.
Yeah, and the backlash to the decision to suspend Talian Kasih was, of course, very swift. Among the politicians who responded to this included former Women, Family and Community Development Minister Dato' Sri Wan Azizah Wan Ismail. She said that, quote unquote, just because everyone is told to stay at home, it does not mean that they do not have any issues or there won't be missing or abused children. And thus, the hotline is an essential service that should not have been shut down.
This was also echoed by her former deputy, Hannah Yeo, who pointed out that the need for Talian Kasih was to ensure that other emergency hotlines such as 999 and 112 are not seeing a sudden spike in calls, which they would not be able to cope with.
Exactly. Right?
And Hannah also added that Talian Kasih is an essential service because the target group are among the most vulnerable. And actually, former Law Minister Dato' Sri Azalina Osman Said also shared a screenshot on Twitter to highlight how the National Security Council did allow services like the Talian Kasih helpline to continue working.
So, like, where was the disconnect,
right?
Anyway, Rosanna Issa, the executive director for Sisters in Islam, also questioned the initial suspension of Talian Kasih, especially as this is a time when women and children might need help the most. Mm-hmm. She pointed out why the hotline couldn't function for a few hours a day when other NGOs such as Women's Aid Organization and Women's Center for Change can continue to do so.
Yeah. So earlier today, I reached out to Sumitra Viswanathan, the executive director of the Women's Aid Organization, to find out how they're helping domestic abuse survivors during this movement control order. I started off first by asking her about the impact that these restrictions on our movements would have on women who are forced to remain in an abusive home.
So I think it doesn't take much imagination to realize that when a survivor is in a confined space with an abuser, the risk of that abuse happening is extremely high. So we have a great deal of concern about what's going on right now. We have women reaching out to us via our hotlines And so, you know, we are monitoring those situations.
Mm-hmm.
The enforced closeness is certainly a huge trigger, and we are very, very concerned about women and kids who are currently in situations of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
According to our, you know, the latest information available, which is all the way back in 2015, it's 9%. Yeah, it's 9% of women in Peninsular Malaysia who are currently living in domestic violence. That's a pretty high number. So it means basically that 1 in 10 of those families that you see out there is probably an active domestic violence situation. Mm. It's serious.
Yeah. And so you are hearing from women who are trying to contact you through your hotlines, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mm. So we're currently dealing with a few such situations.
Mm.
And, you know, the one thing that we are very, very careful about is that we should do no harm. You know, in trying to address a situation, we shouldn't inadvertently cause harm.
Mm.
So we have to manage that very, very carefully, because the very fact that a woman is reaching out for assistance, for support, especially to an organization like WAO, can in and of itself be a trigger for violence and abuse.
Right. What are you hearing from them?
Well, you know, we're hearing things like, you know, very serious physical violence that's occurred. You know, the woman is texting us.
Mm-hmm.
She is, like, you know, intermittently. And then when we say, can we call? Can we get the police to go to your house? There's a great deal of fear around that whole thing. So, you see, sometimes if a woman reaches out to us, and we ask her, what can we do? Can we alert the police for you? She's so fearful. And we've had instances in the past where even if she says, yes, please call the police for me, and the police show up at her house, the fear is so strong and intense that she may actually tell the police, it's okay, I'm okay,
yeah.
It's okay. And then when they leave, then the abuse will continue. It's such a difficult situation that we need to handle.
So when we received news that Talian Kase was closed and offline yesterday, and then, you know, shortly reopened again after that, let's talk a little bit about that. Why is it important for hotlines like these? You know, you are keeping yours going, and why is it important for the government to keep theirs going in these times?
Yeah, so that was a major, major misstep.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes from a lack of understanding of why Talian Kase exists in the first place, why Talian Kase is so important for women and children and elders and people who are currently at risk. They have no other option, right? The only thing they can do is find a way to pick up that phone and make a phone call and ask for help. For us, it was mind-boggling. You know, we were absolutely flabbergasted.
Yes.
And I think really that's where it comes from. It comes from that lack of understanding. You know, that ministry, the women's ministry, is such an important part of government. It is about ensuring that no one is left behind, that everyone in Malaysia will have the opportunity to live the best possible life that they can. And I think that was a lack of understanding that this is why the women's ministry exists, to lift us all up to a better place. And there was that lack of understanding, and I feel that is what perhaps led to the closing down of Talian Kase for that short period of time. I'm so happy to note that the public backlash was so heavy and intense that they had no choice but to put it back up again.
Mm. And so let's talk about, you know, what the hotlines can do for people who need it. How can you help them through the hotline?
Okay, let me give you one example of what happened. It was my experience because I was holding the WAO hotline at that time. It was Ramadan period, and a woman reached out to me. Actually, it wasn't Ramadan. It was like a couple of days after Hari Raya. A woman reached out to our hotline, and she said that she'd just been kicked out of the house, mm-hmm. And she was living on the streets, and she didn't know what to do, and she was in a very remote place, and her phone was running out of battery. Mm-hmm. So she said that she was going to keep calling me every half an hour to see what I was able to do for her. So as soon as I got her name, her location, etc., then WA started reaching out to people that we knew, organizations that we knew in that area, mm-hmm. to alert them. And so basically within a period of 2 hours, we managed to contact our sister organization, mm-hmm. another feminist women's group close to that area, who was then able to contact the Adun for that particular area. And that Adun then hopped in her car, drove around until she found that survivor, mm-hmm. and took her straight to JKM. So that's one example of how, mm-hmm. reaching out via a text message, via a WhatsApp message, via a phone call can actually help save lives.
Yes.
It's so important.
Because you have that network, right? That grassroots network that you can engage in.
Exactly. A hotline cannot exist on its own,
yep.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that it's not just WAO's hotline that is operational.
Mm-hmm.
WCC is operational. Awam is operational. Sisters in Islam is operational. So all of these women, feminist women's groups, we know how important it is to keep that lifeline going.
Mm-hmm.
And we do.
Okay.
You know, so it's so important that government recognizes that too, and that they should be leading the way.
Mm-hmm.
They should be leading the way.
Absolutely. But during this particular period when movements are restricted, are you able to go through that same process of, you know, getting your other network organizations to find perhaps the person in need to go to their house? What would you do in this case?
Yeah, well, you know, listen, we're so good at doing the triage. You know, we've been doing it for years. So the triage regarding risk, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So the call comes in, we understand the situation, we do the triage, and then we're able to actually assess the risk. And if it is a high-risk situation, then, you know, if you need to hop in that car and drive and go somewhere to assist, then, you know, you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to emphasize that WAO, we don't ourselves rush off and do rescues. That's not our job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, numbers like Talian Kase is so important, because what Talian Kase does is it connects the person in need with the government service that mm-hmm. is needed,
mm-hmm.
right? So WAO doesn't do rescues. If we know that someone is being beaten in, like, Jalan Gasing, we can't hop in a car and rush over there. What we will do is we will alert the police, and we will get the police to act.
Mm-hmm.
So if the situation is high risk, everybody needs to jump and do something, because, you know, it's about saving lives, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the shelter. Is your shelter still able to operate? How are you ensuring that you can provide that service?
Yeah. So again, you know, we kind of assess the situation and realize that there is a possibility that we would go into restricted movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we stocked up. We made sure we briefed everybody. And we made sure that we were able to identify volunteers amongst our staff who are, you know, able and willing to remain in the shelter with the women and kids if we do come to a situation of restricted movement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that emergency preparedness, right?
Yes.
So we are in the business of responding to crises.
Yeah.
So we have our emergency preparedness. And so we just went into emergency implementation mode.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the women and kids are still in the shelter. Yes, we have staff on standby, staff who are with them, and we also have staff on standby to react when and if it is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Do you foresee any challenges ahead for your hotlines and your other services Well, not just for you, right? The other NGOs as well. Do you foresee any challenges during this period for you to continue operating?
Yeah, so the challenge, of course, is burnout, right? Mm-hmm. It's such a huge risk for the caring professions like social work, etc. Mm-hmm. So burnout is a huge risk because, and also when you're in emergency mode, your preparedness, your sense of preparedness is very high, right? Yes. You are prepared to jump into something and you're constantly in that mode. The risk of burnout is high. Mm-hmm. So we need to manage it. If it continues for a longer period, then we're going to need to reach out to our volunteers. And we have indeed a team of trained volunteers who are able to staff our hotlines. We call them our crisis support officers. Mm-hmm. That really is the backbone of WAO, our volunteers. If it continues, we will need to release staff and then we will need to reach out to our volunteers to assist. Mm-hmm. So it's and for so many things, it's really about being prepared for, you know, different scenarios and doing that risk management and risk planning.
Mm-hmm. What can the public do to help or to check on their friends or neighbors who might be experiencing abuse?
Yeah, so there's a lot that they can do. They can share the hotline number, you know, the WAO hotline number. It's 03-7956-3488. Mm-hmm. So they could just like slip that number over to a neighbor. But just the very, very basic neighborly thing of picking up that phone and calling your neighbor, mm-hmm. and saying, you know, are you okay? Is everything okay? Mm-hmm. You know, is there anything I can help you with? And then also 15999, Talian Kase. Mm-hmm. If you it's hear back. Something mm-hmm. going on, mm-hmm. if you hear shouting, screaming, crying, kids crying, you know, it what does that indicate to you? It indicates someone is being hit, someone mm-hmm. is in distress. Pick up the phone and call 15999. Your call is confidential. They will never disclose that it was neighbor number two or neighbor number one who called. Mm-hmm. Pick up that phone and call. Be mindful. We are in such a difficult situation right now and we have to support each other.
So that was Sumitra Viswanathan, the Executive Director of Women's Aid Organization. And, you know, with cities and countries facing lockdowns or calls for restricted movement across the globe, there are increasing concerns everywhere about mm-hmm. the impact this could have on domestic abuse. In the United States, their National Domestic Violence Hotline reports that a growing number of callers have said that their abusers are actually using COVID-19 as an excuse to further isolate them from their friends and family.
It's terrible.
So people are awful. Katie Ray Jones, the hotline CEO, told Time that they've also heard of perpetrators threatening to throw victims out on the streets so that they get sick or even withholding financial resources or medical assistance.
And this is also happening in China. Wan Fei, who's the founder of an anti-domestic violence non-profit in Jingzhou, Hubei, said that the number of domestic violence cases reported to a nearby police station tripled in February compared to the same period last year. But activists say that the Chinese police aren't taking the cases seriously, leaving women to fend for themselves amid this quarantine period.
In times like this, we Malaysians really have to do our part to ensure that our neighbours, friends and family know that we are there to provide support and help. You know, like Sumitra said, call the hotline numbers if you ever need someone to talk to or if you're concerned that domestic violence is happening somewhere around you.
Yeah, so those numbers are, so for Talian Kase, it's 15999, very easy to remember. They also have a WhatsApp number. If you want to send in a WhatsApp, that's 019-261-5999. And you can also reach out to the hotlines by the women's NGOs. Just to list a couple here, Women's Aid Organization is at 03-9856-3488. AWAM is 03-7877-4221. As Sumitra said, you know, their hotlines are running, they're operating, there'll be somebody there to pick up your call mm-hmm. and to extend you the help that you need.
Yeah.
So that's all the time that we have for the show today. You can still send us your thoughts at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Also look us up on Facebook. Our Facebook page is BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, download our podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news, Shamila Gunnison and Lee Tree Lin will be commemorating the International Day of Happiness on an episode of By the Book. But for now, we leave you with the Seahorses. You can talk to me right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.